Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, and it's Saturday night, and we are live on the Navajo Internet Radio, and it's going all over the world. And so if any of you are interested in talking about tonight's topic, that topic is about the Navajo Nation elections and the grievances and complaints. There is a lot of talk, a lot of people sharing information out there, and just to give some insight to some of the things that are being discussed out there, and what exactly is it that we're concerned about, ladies and gentlemen, because this is a very, very serious time in our Navajo Nation politics, the direction of the Navajo Nation government. I think both of the presidential hopefuls, the two top runners, they represent a certain segment of the population and also the philosophy of what we want to do in terms of our economy, in terms of how we want to run and operate our Navajo Nation government. con ella dice na bikiya del tido leso ban de tido leso hit oi ban da hit ban da hit aro les aro are hit o ban so case alkoha silo ako are huste da hosne. The telephone number here is 323-642-1708. There's been a lot of discussion on the internet, on Facebook, on politics on the Navajo Nation. And yes, I am the founder and I am the administrator of that page. And I've been working on that page for almost about 4 years now and built the audience up to over 10,000 listeners from all over the world and from people from different cultures, different backgrounds, everywhere. And the whole idea behind this radio talk show or the Navajo radio talk show is so that it gives us a forum of where and how and who and all of that in terms of our Navajo Nation government. Facebook radio program hoto net aho ako ni he a dan hoto hit oban so case ako ra hoto de kodo a lesa sait e ako kha si lo ako a dan ho stand ho sne ako aro do a to shi a e a di de Navajo Nation election do shi da e de da aro de kwi go shi shi lo ta an da haz di ako di hit o e hoto e ban so case ako eya meniya kon e huto di radio Navajo internet radio, Navajo internet talk radio show is on the air right now, and this is Cal Nez and this is Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Again, the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. This is Navajo Internet Radio, and you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. This is Saturday evening, and tonight, the topic that we are talking about is primarily the Navajo Nation primary election. There's a lot of talk out there, meetings happening there, here, everywhere, and I'm getting information. Text to me, email to me, all sorts of things. Now, one of the things that I wanted to be able to talk about is what is it and where are we going with our politics? Of course, we know that there are two front runners, which is Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. and Christus Cheatney, and their vice president, Dr. Joe Shirley Jr., selected Dene Benally, and also Christus Cheatney, he selected Fannie Lou Etzidi. So having said that, you know, I want to hear from you rather than posting all sorts of stuff, so to speak, on Facebook. Why don't we talk about it here and get the information rolling? The power of the social media, the power of radio, the power of voice, the power of words that we share and information that we bring to the table. I know that lots of politicians out there, and I'm sure that some of the people who are listeners are also from the two front-running camps, as well as the council delegates. I know that for a fact because some of the response and replies that happens out there in reference to the radio show that I do. So I really would like to hear from you. What are your thoughts? And are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you frustrated? Are we good with the outcome? And where are we going? And just for your information, I sent out text messages, emails, telephone calls to various different groups out there and have invited them. And I'm not going to name them at this point, and we will get to that, and I hope that some of them will be able to give us a call. Also, I have sent information to Myron McLaughlin and Dale Sosi and Moroni Benally and Kenneth Mary Boy today because I wanted them to come online and give us what their thoughts and ideas and also their feedback about what they thought about the Navajo Nation primary election. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is from some paperwork that was posted online, and once some A information or information is posted or filed with a public entity, it becomes a public information. And so this is just one of the things. It's redundancy. Ebeni nago ko e di a di ba ne ti do le a ro ho to so bi ke je so sa si a khalen he di ni he an he Navajo Nation government Joet Nichidet I Hala Con A D Nichisensis number Hudlo A Labini Nation Hutto Kodoib Sad Behiditzi Ado Kodo Sto La Stotni Zindole Ado Sotota Ado Vichit Ahat Oi Hit Oi Bayel Kidole Joe Hutta Askahasi so Akodi de Konde Quaginal sauce Sunny Change Trado Lake. A cord to day beneath Natchy Corner. The Nayan Dad, eh? Fishing thought ban so case so, but what is your tashi thought? A cord deed a corner sauce with oil of a car. Did a last This was a letter written on September 5th, 2014. Complaint letter. During the primary election, a candidate admitted to not being able to speak Navajo fluent. Despite Navajo Nation law, which states that in part of qualification for the presidency, for the presidential candidacy is must fluently speak and understand Navajo. This candidate was still allowed to be placed on the election ballot and receive enough votes to make it through, to make it into the general election. We believe that this, along with the lack of background checks, the lack of interviews of the candidates, and the lack of residency checks, brings into question the entire election process, as this one case alone should have led to at least one disqualification by the election administration, authorized by 11 Navajo Nation Code 23, as voters, we are concerned at the failure in oversight and fulfillment of responsibility by allowing the election to be flooded with candidates that didn't meet basic eligibility requirements. Such requirements stand as the Navajo Nation law at the time of filing, and are not subject to leniency that allows candidates to fulfill such requirement during and after the election cycle. The same standard for meeting all mandatory qualification should have been used to vet all candidates. We are only using the above example to highlight that even in one of those blatant cases where the candidates has openly and publicly admitted to his inability to communicate Navajo, the election office did not properly fulfill their obligation to the Navajo people, and that calls into question whether or not a standard process for vetting candidates' qualifications was fairly applied to the other candidates, if any was applied at all. The Navajo Nation citizens have placed their confidence in the Navajo government and the regulatory offices to uphold the responsibility to ensure that the Navajo Nation law is upheld and protected. To neglectly allow unqualified candidates seek the highest position of power in our nation is to mislead the people and obstruct their right to cast their vote with the assurance that the sad candidates meet all qualifications to meet our nation. To allow this election to go forward without redressing these and any other violations of due diligence by the elections office will cause irreparable harm to the Navajo people by violating the sanctity of the inherent right, belief, and the sanctity and freedom as defined by the fundamental law in the Navajo Nation Code. Sincerely, Adela Begay, Wheatfield's chapter. There is one letter, and there's many, many more that are similar like that, that go along with that type of a sentiment. So again, all you listeners out there, is this something that we should be concerned about? There's a lot of people talking about it on Facebook and also just in the general public. So, the telephone number here is 323-642-1708, and we have about an hour and 32 minutes left in the show. So don't sit back. And one person said, Andy Oliver is his name on Facebook. He says, Navajo Jerry Springer. Well, that's a comment on Facebook about the show. And right now, I'm also looking at other posts on here. So I know that you are online, you're getting my post, and that we are live and we are on the air talking about the Navajo Nation elections. So ako are daisanosado bayatastido kode beninacha asanda o sehigi e digida hatila banda ako kodo e niche da hosne Aden Hustan did Komba Nate in the Navajo Nation government. So that was one of the letters that was inside of the packet that was posted online and also sent to me in a PDF multiple pages. There was this entire document is probably the one that was sent, that was written, or there was an article in Navajo Times basically saying that the complaints have been rejected, have been dismissed by the Office of Rules and Appeals, I believe. If that's the case, is this the end of it? And we're going to put it to rest. And I will continue to talk about this. And but the reply, see, this is the interesting thing. The reply to that specific letter by Adela Begay from Wheatfield's chapter, the reply from the ethics and, let's see, by the hearings and appeals of the Navajo Nation, and there was a reply and an order, Adela Begay versus Christy Deschitney. And here is a the reply from the hearings, the chief hearing officer from the Office of Hearings and Appeals. And it was dated 9/10/2014, so 5 days after the paperwork was filed. This was the reply in reference to that filing or to that complaint. Petitioner filed a statement of grievance against the respondent being Chris Deschitney, with the Office of Hearings and Appeals on September 5, 2014. Petitioner, who is Adela Begay, alleges that the respondent is not qualified for the office because he cannot speak the Navajo language fluently. Petitioner Begay was not a candidate for public office during the recent election on August 26, 2014, declares the Navajo Nation Election Office shall hold the candidate applications of all candidates it has certified as eligible for a period of 10 days during which sworn challenges may be filed with the Office of Hearings and Appeal by other applicants for the same position, whether or not such applicants are certified. The Navajo Nation Court, Supreme Court holds that a voter who was not a candidate for the office does not have standing to complain of a lack of a candidate's qualification. The statement of grievances is hereby dismissed. The order is subject to appeal to the Navajo Supreme Court in accordance with the law. So that was their reply. So in other words, if you're not a candidate or you're not a, you cannot complain, and you have no right to be complaining. I guess that's the question. But then also says that you can also appeal. So are there going to be some appeals going on? And so let me find the other complaints. Let's see. That one is another one to a complaint that was submitted by and it's basically the same letter that Adela wrote, signed by a different individual, and this individual is Victoria Gutierrez. And her paperwork the reply from the same chief hearing officer of the hearings and appeals. It's basically the same wording as was sent to Adela Begay. So that reply, I guess, as a private citizen, they could not you couldn't do that, according to the Navajo Nation Supreme Court, on a case Tommy C. Begay versus the Navajo Nation Election Supervisors and the Navajo Election Administration, R-Nav-R-719, the Navajo Supreme Court, 1995. So I guess that's when that particular order had taken place. So I will go down to, now this one is a very interesting situation here. Let me read what the exact complaint was. And that's the handwritten complaint right there. Let me see. I don't see one of the letters from the last part of this particular complaint. So this gives you a very, very good idea about how this particular these complaints have been replied to and how they have been filed and their so now this one, like I said, is very interesting. I don't know, you know, how many people out there are really interested in this. This particular complainant is, I think there was a letter, a portion of his letter that was not included in this file. And let me blow this up so I can read it. This one was it looks like the second page of a letter. I don't see the first part of it. And it reads, Mr. Chris Deschini violated this provision of the Navajo Nation election law. Mr. Deschini filed a sworn statement swearing that he was qualified to be a candidate for the office of the Navajo Nation president as set forth in section in Navajo Nation Code 11. However, Mr. Chris Deschini is not qualified as he does not fluently speak or understand Navajo as required by Navajo Nation Code 11. Moreover, Mr. It's supposed to be Chris, but it says Christ in here. Moreover, Mr. Chris Deschini is not qualified as he has never held an elected office, an elected Navajo Nation office, and has never been employed by the Navajo Nation as required by 11 Navajo Nation Code. Mr. Chris Deschini is fraudulently submitted a sworn statement indicating that he was qualified to be a candidate for the office of the Navajo Nation president. Mr. Deschini violated section Navajo Nation Code 11, and by his violation, Mr. Deschini must be removed from being a candidate for the office of the Navajo Nation president. I, Hank Whitethorn, am bringing this statement of grievances pursuant to Navajo Nation Code 11, Section 341. Respectfully submitted, Hank Whitethorn, and his signature is on there. Certification, I, Hank Whitethorn, a registered voter of the Navajo Nation, hereby am contesting the events which took place due to the reason statement, and I further swear and affirm that persons listed as witness are aware that they are listed as such to the best of my knowledge and believe the statement of grievance is correct and true and correct. So there is a notary on here, and it was dated 9/5/September. And notarized says, I have read the foregoing grievances which was submitted and sworn to before me this 5th day of September 2014. Now, here's an interesting reply. So bear with me as I'm reading these things because this particular response, because Mr. Hank Whitethorn was a presidential candidate. And so he filed. And remember, in the first two letters, one for Victoria Gutierrez and Adela Begay, they both basically said, I'm talking about the Navajo Nation hearings and appeal. Their reply was that both of these individuals, Gutierrez and Begay, are not candidates, and therefore they cannot be complaining about the candidates. And also there are two periods that where grievance or complaints can be filed. One is immediately after the final closing date for all the candidates. And then the other period is right after the primary elections. So keep this in mind as I'm reading this, okay? Petitioner filed a statement of grievance against the respondent being Christus Cheney, and petitioner is Hank Whitethorn, with the Office of Hearings and Appeals on September 5th, 2014, which was the date that this was supposed to be filed. Petitioner and respondents were candidates for the Navajo Nation president for the August 26, 2014 primary election. Petitioner Hank Whitethorn alleges, number one, respondent does not speak Navajo fluently. Qualification for the candidate for the Navajo Nation president must fluently speak and understand Navajo and read and write English. Number two, respondent has never served in an elected Navajo Nation election. Respondent has never served in an elected Navajo Nation election and has never been employed with the Navajo Nation organization as either an employee of any branch of the Navajo Nation. Candidates for the Navajo Nation president must have served in an elected Navajo Nation office other than the office of school board member, or must have been employed within the Navajo Nation organization. Number three, respondent violated a provision of the Navajo Nation election law when he filed a sworn statement that he was qualified to be a candidate for the office of the Navajo Nation president. The candidate application form shall be in the form specified by the board and shall contain a notarized sworn statement by the candidate that he or she is qualified to hold the office. B, that he or she meets the qualifications set forth in the Navajo Nation Code Section 11. C, that he or she, that his or her application is in the form and manner, hold on one second here, I'm going to the second page, prescribed by the law, and that he or she may be removed as a candidate in the event his or her application contains false statement. The Navajo Nation Election Administration. Now remember, listeners, this is a reply to Mr. Hank Whitethorn, and why that this complaint by Mr. Whitethorn was dismissed. Okay? Listen to what they have to say. The Navajo Nation Election Administration shall hold the candidate's applications of all candidate it has certified as eligible for a period of 10 days during which sworn challenges may be filed with the Office of Hearings and Appeal by other applicants for the same position, whether or not such applicants are certified. Navajo Nation Election Administration submitted its certification of candidacy to respondent Christopher Lee Clark Descheny, deeming him eligible for the position of the Navajo Nation president on April 25th, 2014. Petitioner Mr. Whitethorn had until Petitioner being Mr. Hank Whitethorn had until May 6, 2014, 10 days after, to challenge the eligibility of the respondent, and the respondent is Krista Schchitny. As stated earlier, petitioner filed with the OHA on September 5th, almost 4 months late. The statement of grievances is hereby dismissed, and this order is subject to appeal to the Navajo Nation Supreme Court in accordance with the Navajo law. Date of order is September 10th, 2014, and I don't know who this person is, again, that signed this letter. Now, so I read you three types of, basically two. They use the templates for both, for the first two letters that I, complaints that I read to you. But this one is a little different because he's also one of the candidates. So while the law says a candidate can make a complaint if he was also a candidate, but a person who's not a candidate can't file a complaint against a presidential candidate or a council delegate. I guess for any candidate, you must be able to have the candidate filing a grievances about another candidate. Okay. Having said that, here's the interesting thing that's really, really coming up that I am sitting here kind of scratching my head. Number one is that, remember, it goes back to the two grievances. Now, my question is this. Maybe you have the answer. A grievance or a complaint, whether it's filed in the first one or the second one, they're both grievance and complaint. So according to this letter, this particular complaint, according to the Office of Hearings and Appeal, they're basically saying, well, that argument, Mr. Whitethorn, that you're using should have been in the first one. Therefore, we're not going to recognize this thing. Well, whether or not it was in the first one or the second one, why are there two different complaint period? Now, a complaint, unless it specifically says a grievance, only on the Navajo Nation election process. Maybe that should have been stated for the primary. But it just says a period of grievance for a period of 10 days. So, which takes me back to one part. The one part that I went in there, and I totally agree with the first two letters, was that I walked in there, went through the whole process, filed paperwork, nobody tested me, nobody asked me if I spoke Navajo, and away I went. I was done within about an hour and 15 minutes at the most. Took my money and said, good luck, Mr. Nez. And they had my picture taken, and the only choice that I was given was to go in there and say, I like that picture. And so, now, technically, right after that, you know, there was a time period where they were not releasing names of who else was running, and well, we pretty much know who else had filed and running. But the thing was this, is that as candidates, everybody else was getting ready to run and get prepared for their campaign. Therefore, for me at least, I read the statement, went through and read the whole thing. And on there, I noticed Navajo speaking fluent Navajo. Well, it was my assumption that everybody spoke Navajo and understood Navajo. So it was very interesting, and from that point on, I'd indicated here and there, you listen to all of my presentation, and it wasn't necessary to pick on any specific person. This has nothing, from my standpoint, this is nothing to do with a particular candidate. This is about a philosophy of our Navajo Nation government. Are the laws being followed? And if we don't like it, we can certainly change it through a regular legislative process. Now, if we change that, is that a precedence for the Navajo Nation, the Navajo people, that we don't honor the integrity of our Navajo culture by not having our leaders speak Navajo? And it's not only just speaking Navajo. What about the other part of the qualification? The other part of the qualification about the tribal knowledge and government know-how. What type of experience? Or is it just going to be, hey, come on in and we'll take your $1,500 and we'll get your picture taken, but we just assume that you speak Navajo. We assume that you didn't serve any type of a prison time. We just assume that you are that you fully understand the integrity and having Navajo all around you. But is that going way too far? Now, so these are a lot of the questions. But again, it goes back to the fundamental. From my standpoint, I'm sitting here looking at these complaints and saying, well, which complaint? Is it going to be the first complaint or the second complaint? A complaint is a complaint. Whether I'm complaining about a candidate in the first one or the second one, if there's a reason why that those two complaints. If I was a complaint about a certain person, in which I didn't, by the way, and I about another candidate, and to be told that I couldn't complain because that complaint should have happened in the first one, I would say, well, show me where it says that I should complain for a very specific one. So there's all these issues that I want us to think about. I want us, the Navajo people. It's not so much about Joe Shirley Jr. It's not about Christus Cheney. They just happen to represent a certain philosophy and a segment of our culture that is either right or needs to be corrected. Now, which takes us back to, we are a Navajo Nation which has very much has intermarried with other cultures, other tribes, and a lot of our relatives are mixed blood, and that's their choice. You cannot control who loves who and who marries who. That's their choice. But if they decide to run down the road when they grow up, whether they're mixed blood or married to somebody else, should that change? And these are some of the things that I think it's taken us back to the Navajo Nation law. then what is our law? What did those nachas tween reda hotonar sosa de di lado yantas tina biniero bininani shihud lo e ar hade di la? Kuro hoton hikad in nasti kre. Judi Navajo language will ye yid a or yo basit hi. By your nathon hitten, a call kade. It's right here in front of us now. Whether it's Christus Chini or somebody else that was in that same position, or what if two candidates who went up to the front and they both didn't speak Navajo but understood Navajo, and they were not married to a Navajo or not married to a woman, or it could be vice versa, a woman running. So these are the type of things that I'm sitting here looking at. Now, having said that, rather than going in there and looking at all the candidates and saying, hey, ladies and gentlemen, yada, yada, yada. We've all heard it. We heard it on the campaign trail. We heard it all summer long. Well, all of those things, if you look at that, well, you know what? That's unfortunate. But the fact of the matter is that the Navajo people, we have the right to be able to talk about those things, at least civilly, not viciously, and try to keep some sort of a civil dialogue where we're nice and saying things to each other. I think that those are going to be very, very important. Din Navajo Nation government, ako di nasko di kago, ako di de kwege huto kade di de. There's a lot of question. Kade, the last election was about a Navajo woman not serving as president. Now we're going to another sets of problem, and that is speaking Navajo. But all in all, this is not, because that certain things have already now have moved forward, and the here and now is that we have Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. and Christus Chini. Like I said, they both represent a segment of our culture, and they speak or don't speak Navajo, and you know where that fits. But then again, rather than sitting here nitpicking at who these individual persons are, my question to you is, what about who applies these laws in order to conduct a Navajo Nation election? It's the office. It's the Navajo Nation Election Administration and there is a set of paperwork, verbiage. There is a set of outlines of qualification. Should they have gone in there and outlined and sat down and the process taking 2 or 3 days for somebody to get qualified, to be vetted, to make sure that every aspect, and now going into the Navajo Nation culture, the Navajo Nation language, who would be the final expert? Is it going to be a panel of elderly people who's going to conduct the language fluency part of it? So these are the things that I'm, you know, that I'm talking about. Now, but really, all in all, this all comes back to, rather than looking at the tip of the iceberg, the underbelly of this whole thing is the Navajo Nation Election Administration. I think they could have done a better job at making this election so that everything is all sound and fair and satisfactory, had they gone in there and tested all of the candidates. Very much just like I said before, like the office of Miss Navajo. You're listening to Navajo Politics with Kel Nez, and we have about 1 hour left. Of course, so I've been talking away, explaining, reading letters, and you know, for me, you know, whether it was, like I said, whether it was Joe Shirley or somebody else or Krista Cheney or somebody else, you know what, we better make dang sure that our laws are solid and we know what we're doing and while we're conducting a certain thing, whether it's at a chapter level or a central government or whatever the issues are, whether it's executive or judicial or legislative branch, all of those we must have full understanding about what these laws mean and why that they stand there. There's reasons why that they were written. One of my biggest pet peeves is the one that is about the Navajo Nation Business Opportunity Act. It's a law. It prefers Navajo businesses. But how often is it applied? And, well, I've had attorneys within the Navajo Nation executive branch writing letters saying that, well, in this particular case, this certain individual or industry, they can't qualify under the Navajo Business Opportunity Act. And so anyway, you know, they can split hair as much as they want to in all cases, but the fact of the matter is this, is that are we for Navajo? Are we for the Navajo culture? Are we for the Navajo language? Or is it too late now? I don't stand the house net. I telephone out straight all this. Crossing slow, hard as in the ICO, is all shed on and non hit the need all this. Ah, ho ho, zago that's odd, how she. Kadera tata I rash nata I station, border town, probably how many of you went to Hajdil Wode, Aro, different parts of the Navajo Nation, Joinle border town Satnisa, Join Hispada Hosen, Aro she movie that she does not ego. Ako jukade kon de AD Navajo Nation government ba nate. Ako are hostet da hosne do kon AD de nisi khaita atra singlo. Thank you.
You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And we have about 45 minutes left. And if any of you are listening, and looks like there's quite a bit of people that are listening, and I appreciate that. Thank you. And let's see who calls in from the furthest corner of the Navajo nation, and also the furthest away from the Navajo nation. And I know there's listeners, and I'm getting listeners in coming in from got one guy, Navajo fellow, who lives in Hawaii, and a couple of servicemen from Iraq that have emailed me in they've IM'd me and said thank you very much for doing the broadcast, keeping us posted, and that we're able to hear the language rather than just listening or looking at the face at Facebook and those sorts of things. So Navajo people, Navajo Nation, we are talking about the Navajo Nation election. Our Navajo Nation government, what is it that we are doing? I read you some of the request I shared with you. What is it that what's really behind? And also, I think there's some very technical issues in terms of the grievances. There's two grievance periods, one with right after the filing for candidates, and then also another one right after the primary election, for both for a period of 10 days. Now, if somebody has an issue with the election process, according to the Office of Hearing and Appeals, you can't do that if you're not one of the candidates. Only a candidate can challenge another candidate. So two candidates that I saw who had filed, one is Hank Whitethorn, the other one is Del Soce. But according to the reply from the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals, their grievance, the statement of grievance, was dismissed because their timing on the complaint didn't happen at the right time, and it says it's 4 months too late. Well, I guess the question is this, is that maybe they should have worded a statement of grievance or a grievance period only for the primary and only for right after the candidate's file. So, you know, it's rather confusing. So let's say a candidate who filed, in this case 17, did any of the candidates have the chance to go around and interview each other before the 10 days and say, hey, do you speak Navajo? Do you do this? Do you do that? Well, I don't think that they had time. Well, at least I didn't have time. I had to go out there and get my campaign rolling. And so the first time that we ever got together, which was long after the 10-day period, was a person standing up there, and I noticed it just wasn't just Krista Cheatney. There's others who didn't speak Navajo fluently. And so, you know, I think some people basically said, or some of the other candidates, or at least I heard this, well, we'll make a complaint at the end because there's another complaint period. So that didn't happen. So, Ako, Kahasilo, Hedlanan, Hitishnido, Latin. Telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And maybe I'm just beating this thing into the ground, and people really, really don't care out there what happens and who gets into the president's office. I don't know. But we have a caller who is waiting on the phone, 9268.
Hello.
Even if you're just calling in just to say hello, hi, my name is so-and-so, I'm calling from there, and that I am I just want to listen. And so you are on the air right now. Hello.
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
I can hear you now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Anthony
Sloan.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I hear you better now.
Yeah, I'm Anthony Sloan. I'm out of Wind Rock, Arizona. I'm basically calling on the politics issues within Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Anthony, Yateho, thank you very much for calling. And I, you know, this is a young man that is also a business owner, and he carries a big name, last name, Sloan. So what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, good to talk to you again, Cal. Thanks for having me. My concerns are basically the culture of Navajo politics and what it has become, you know, within our communities and what the outside world is looking on in as of our infrastructure, our politics, our law and order, you know, basically certain things, certain qualities that make a nation great and sustainable and willing to, you know, actually go further instead of just basically them trifling themselves with, you know, certain comments, a certain kind of political cultures that are just negative. And a lot of people don't really see it as it's that big of a deal. It's basically a real big deal because everybody, all the corporations that want to do business with the Navajo people, because the Navajo people seriously do have money. And there, it's 300,000 of Navajos or so. Give $2 to each one of them, that's half.
Anthony, are you still there?
Blustered. There's no seriousness.
Oh.
There's really no infrastructure or any kind of sense of people, if you will. That's the main thing that I'm kind of curious about, that you have all these candidates and people from all over the Navajo Nation, and we're supposed to be coming together, but yet we're belittling and we're basically just being really non-professional about it, when really we should take this serious beyond any means.
Yeah. So let me ask you. I think you bring up a very, very, very good point, Anthony. I appreciate you calling in because you know there's different segments of our culture on the Navajo Nation. We have the older generation or the elderlies, and then there's my generation, and then there's younger generation, and so basically what you're saying is that let's be civil with one another and conduct our business and make sure that everything straight is straightforward, but yet at the same time, while this election, that's what the topic is about tonight, the Navajo Nation politics and government and the application of the law, my question back to you would be is that how do you see that if there is a real technical oversight of the process?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Oh, am I breaking up or is it my phone?
Hello?
Yeah, yeah. So I hope you can hear me okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you very clear, but I'm not sure what's happening, whether you're in a location. But let me
I
don't know how your signature.
Oh, yeah, I apologize about that. Now, so with the whole election thing and what's going on with Mr. Deschini and his qualifications and, you know, other grievances that have been filed by the Hearing and Appeals Office, I think that there is, you know, there's what you call the spirit of the law and there's what you call the letter of the law. And to follow the spirit of the law would have a, you know, a right context to go with what is qualified as fluency. You know, if the man can't do certain sentences in a conversation with an elderly person, then he's not fluent. And, you know, it's just basically there's nothing there to support his argument of, hey, you know, the law doesn't say this or the law doesn't say that. The law is the land of the people, and the land of the people is basically requires you to speak Navajo or to be a leader in our, you know, community. So that being said, I think it's a very big issue that we as people, because think about it like this. If our leader, one of the most powerful men on the Navajo Nation, goes out and tells the whole world he doesn't speak Navajo, a lot of the older people or, you know, old money, if you will be like, okay,
right.
Well, if you're there for your people, then how do we know that you can communicate them, you know, communicate with them well? You know, there's conservative, there's certain aspects to our political process as well, you know, Democrats and Republicans and so on and so forth. But what we have to understand is once our leader is not fluent in our language, then what do we as a nation become?
Well, that's exactly what I'm asking here, is that just in the terms of the Navajo culture, the culture is about cultural know-how, is the ability to speak Navajo, and how deep does that knowledge go in terms of being what is considered to be Navajo? And now, as the here and now in our society is that we have a segment of our population that don't speak Navajo, but they understand Navajo. I have relatives who are like that. Now, because of that happening, does that mean that they shouldn't participate in politics because their parents didn't take the responsibility to teach them? Or what does that say about our culture? And that's one of the things that I'm asking. And then if it's the letter of the law or the principle of the law, which one do we apply? But in this particular case, if you saw my or if you heard my reading earlier, here's another thing too that's really odd, is that there's two grievance periods, one after the candidates have filed back in May, and the other one is post 10 days after the primary, a grievance period. Well, some citizens, they file a grievance about Mr. Deschini, and theirs was thrown out because it says only a candidate can sue another or, you know, file against another candidate. And then the other ones, another reason why the candidate's grievance was thrown out because they said that particular argument, you as a candidate going against another candidate, you should have filed in the first one, so therefore making your grievance 4 months too late. My question is that which grievance is valid, whether I grieved in the first one or the second one, and I as a candidate, what does it matter because a grievance is a grievance? whether it happened the first one or the second one. Is there a prerequisite to question who's what, where? And so, in other words, so Mr. Hank Whitethorn could have gone in there and says, well, I don't like Christos Cheney because he was a veteran. Should that would have been the reason? Should it have been a reason besides what's listed in the law? I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, my thought basically is that this whole thing about the grievances and the lack of understanding of what was supposed to be is the election office, the Navajo Nation election office, wasn't doing their job, plain and simple. If they were doing their job as they were supposed to do, as we pay them as Navajo citizens, as they, you know, are funded because we're a federally recognized tribe, not by, you know, the requirement of their job, but as us as Navajo people getting federally funded by the size of our tribe. So that goes into the bank account. That's the people's money. And we're paying these people to actually regulate, if you will, who is actually a candidate who can run, who can't run. It sounds like they're just basically all out to lunch at Dominguez and not doing their job. And charging everything to the P card and saying that they can do it just because they've been grandfathered into that seat all this time. See, it's not so much of a laws this and laws that. It's a culture of people that would have to adapt into something different. We as citizens and as a Navajo Nation, you know, private citizens and tribal members, we can't allow this to happen. We have to take a stand and basically use our courts as a disposal. That's what makes our sovereignty so great, is we have our own government.
Exactly.
And, but it's not that a lot of people say Western society doesn't, you know, the process of Western society doesn't uphold the Navajos. It's not the process, it's the people. The people want change, but they don't know what they want to change to. And for that to be short-sighted on everything else that everybody else is doing, people are comfortable in the Navajo Nation, but their comfortability is getting less and less comfortable by every year inflation goes up. We pay the same kind of gas prices that every American does. Everything that affects us in the Western society is also going to plagiarize into our, you know, Navajo society. So what we do as a people, we must basically hold people accountable that they're spending our money. This is what a lot of us don't understand, is the culture and everything else that plays into how we plug into Western society. That's basically, you know, just a whole total. We're trying to play football when we bring golf clubs to the game. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, very good point. Another one that I want to ask you, see what your thoughts are on this, is that should the entire Navajo Nation election, primary election process, should there be a retake because of the following reason? What did you think about Edison Wanika, the director of the elections office, running as a candidate while he's still employed as a tribal employee? Nothing wrong with being employed, but it just so happens that he is one of the candidates for the very office that he is in charge of. What do you think about that?
That's what we like to call conflict of interest, and that right there shouldn't have taken place at all. He himself, being the director and overseeing that type of office, should have been the main person knowing that. And for him to actually, you know, the seat, and that goes back to it again. We have to build a certain type of culture. We have to reinvent our culture, keep our traditional values. And at the same time, I think that we just have to go back to the old playbook, the traditional values playbook, where, you know, you value something. You upheld yourself. You upheld people in the community, you know. There's a reason why the Klan system's there. There's so much things that we ourselves could do, so much as of pro tools within our own culture that we could show the outside Western culture so much more, you know, a different type of understanding mm-hmm. coming from, you know, being Native and brought up in a, you know, Hogan or, you know, having different traditional aspects of what it means to, you know, go plant corn to having fresh bread every morning on your table. There's a lot of mm-hmm. things that we're losing hindsight of when we go into politics. And the thing about it is you have people just like Mr. Wienicka. He's a smart man, but he's double-dipping in everybody's soup, you know? Everybody's sharing a pot of soup, and he's over there dipping 4 and 5 fry bread when he should just be taking one and getting his own bowl and, you know, sitting on the other side of the bench.
And yeah, maybe he should have just resigned from that post and allow the system to take place. So there's kind of, which you bring up a very, very good point, is that the reason why that we should have a voice and a concern and to be able to do something about it, whether we're a candidate or not, but as a private citizen, you can still go out there and file a complaint, voice your opinion, sue, whatever you need to do about your government, because the people that are administering these laws and rules for whether it's the Office of Elections or the President's Office and all of those, they're being paid by tribal money, and the money that's coming from the tribe is the people's money, and so therefore they are our employees. And that's why, you know, customer service should apply. Very good point.
Very true.
So
very true, yeah.
I appreciate that, man. That, you know, you bring up some very, very good point. Anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, you know, let's get out there. Let's do what we need to do. In all honesty, we need to have better economic values, a better mindset. Instead of, you know, this isn't being on Facebook and publicly posting comments that are ill professional, people on the outside world can see that. All right,
mm-hmm.
It reflects a lot of all of us. And let's show them that we know how to wear a suit and a tie and not just support. You know.
Very nice. Anthony Sloan, that's a very, very good, very, very wise suggestion from a young man. And very, very impressed with that. And so while we're talking about politics, let's be ethical, professional, and conduct ourselves so that the rest of the world can say, hey, these Navajos, they got it. And no matter, you know, I guess the whole thing also goes is that, you know what, we should keep our family laundry or dirty laundry hidden behind the scenes and I'll put it out into the open. I guess that's another way you can look at it. And so I'm not sure if this next caller is willing to come on the air or he just wants to listen in, but I'm sure he has some very powerful input, as he usually does, and his opinions and his position in terms of politics, and I do appreciate it. So, Manuel, are you, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Nope. I can, yeah, he's on air. So you are on the air, and I hope that you are listening and or can hear me. I mean, I'll put you back on hold for a few seconds. Maybe he's fallen asleep or something. So let me try again. Hello, Manuel. Yate. Manuel. Hello, Manuel. Nifana ishajete. So, but anyway, I appreciate it. And there's all sorts of issues, and that young man there, that call, he brings up some very, very valid point, and that was that, you know, as bringing up information in terms of being ethical, about being applying our laws, and from his perspective, whether he is, I know he is involved in politics and knows, but he comes from a different perspective than what we, our generation and older, a lot of the issues that we get so piled up in, a lot of these things don't matter to them. It matters to them what the principle and the meaning and the laws, and rather than all these sidebars about making things that are emotional. At least that's what I see the younger generation, because they see both sides of the world. I know that, you know, like I was driving out there on the Navajo Nation, way out there, and I came back I just stopped by this Hogan in the middle of the night because I got lost. And so I stopped by over there, knocked on the door. There's a trailer out there, and a young man comes to the door, and I could tell just by his reply and his language and his mannerism. You know, of course, the TV was playing. He was on the internet, and he said he was just posting stuff on Facebook. And I said, yeah, Teshe, you know, so forth. So I said this in Navajo, and he kind of looked at me and shook his head and like, and then he says, Grandma. So he calls Grandma. So Grandma comes on board. And so I said, oh, yeah, okay. So, but anyway, my point here is that just the Navajo language is even out there. And he appeared to me like he was exercising and seeing both sides of the picture, whether he lives off the Navajo Nation or on the Navajo Nation, because of the internet, because of the television, and because of his fluency in English was obviously very, very, very clear. So I'm getting all these posts on Facebook and trying to read some of them, and I'm telling everybody, ladies and gentlemen, please call in. And I don't know, it looks like there's quite a few people. This is a lot of people went off on some weird tangent, totally this way and that way and this way, and it's like, no, people, let me get back to my one question. And that one question is that what I saw and what my eyes saw is what I saw and what other people in the entire community saw. But I'm not sure, and I am going to try to get in touch with Marty Shabala. And I was reading her blog on her page, and on there, I guess she was also trying to she did get in touch with some people. And see, these are the type of things that cloud the direction of our Navajo government. One thing that I found that I absolutely was just something that I'm not used to. I believe in being straight forth with people. If I say I'm going to support somebody, then I usually support. But if somebody invites me to support somebody, then I am very, very straight up front and say, lady, sir or ma'am, I'm supporting someone else. And these are the reasons why. But thank you, and, you know, and there was that's my philosophy. But if I have already supported somebody, and if I'm invited to a meeting, and if it's a strategic meeting for a certain candidate, you know what? I would excuse myself ethically and say, I'm sorry, I don't think I should be in this meeting. And I would excuse myself. And or people saying, well, where one person is supporting three different candidates and basically hopping around among all of them, you know, that's the type of, when you talk about ethics and really stand by certain personal ethics, that where you're there to support a candidate because you truly believe in the philosophy that they stand for, not so much because that they supported you in a certain cause, and now it's your payback in order to take them into office, or that there's a possibility that you're looking for a job. And I've also have had people come to me saying to me, I will support you only if what's in it for me. Because the other candidate, and I'm not going to name names, had already promised me a job. So it's those type of things that I, you know, that I think really just distorts the whole entire integrity of our Navajo Nation election. Have we been right there, starting with our Navajo Nation elections office? They applied the rules and regulations exactly the way that it's supposed to be done. And if the executive director was supposed to run, whether it was Mr. Winika or Mr. whoever it is, that particular person ought to resign and run from the outside. But, you know, if he's unsure about his chances of winning, and so that's why he hung on to his employment, then maybe he shouldn't have run as a president or a candidate. It goes for all, you know, except the incumbent. The incumbent, which is the Navajo Nation president and the rest of the council delegates, yeah, I mean, they're going to serve their place and they're going to get their job, but they don't have to resign. But this particular job is a job. So I think it defines, and then also the application of the qualification. So we will be on air again tomorrow night. We have about a few minutes left here, and if no one else is going to give me a buzz, and I see a lot of people listening in, which I really appreciate, but I would rather have you call in, share your opinion like Mr. Sloan did, and I'm not sure what happened to Emmanuel. He called in and sat in on the phone, and I got another text from one fellow. Please be on my show tomorrow. We're going to have Hezbollah and Hamas want to use your tactics, how to use those tactics to your advantage. Of course, you know, the person's joking. I love it. So anyway, so ahead on it. Crossing on ahead. Oh, Diego Honda. Dila hot o tani krod ne the kui go she ye hat si to yan da ti do be da ti sa ro sai she tani koi ha shi ha ho a believe me ha ho a I hear it. I'm not just making this up. That's why I put this radio show on, is so that you can share your opinions and let's talk about this thing. Yet, when I open this show up, you know, one person writes to me about redundancy. Well, if they're so worried about redundancy, then what about what? Something that happens over and over, like going to work, talking about a certain topic, talking about a certain, that sun comes up, that's redundancy. Is there an issue with redundancy, especially something of this magnitude? It's something that we need to talk about because a lot of people are concerned. Joaven yahot o e di radio show e kudo neta tasi loko are tahosne do to bayeta hito aron si eto kudogo hito iban si case. These are some things that I'm hearing out there, and I want to talk about them. I want you to share what your thoughts about. And if in the end, if this turns out to be nobody's calling, nobody's talking about it, then I assume that's going to be my assumption, is that, you know, it is what it is, and your action is basically speaking for itself. So, but nonetheless, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your listening in, and I appreciate those callers who've called in. Ako ahiadlan aroshi askao. So said we get the has canzo na has te we get the has canz jin. Akitlada huid neto leh. Yat e nahoto nil. Aro are to Facebook. We get that to any other topics that you would love to cover. Please share that with me. And, you know, of course, the topic's always open. It doesn't necessarily we need to talk about this. Again, we will see you tomorrow. We will hear you tomorrow. And be ready. Be ready to share with us your thoughts. Ahead, Lana, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And this is Cal Nez signing off. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Yeah, Lana.